All right. Order this meeting of the Water Service Area Review Board at 10:02 a.m. on July 25th, 2023. First order of business is to appoint a chairperson.
So I will nominate Ms. Liz Morales as the to be appointed as a board chair.
And all
I don't know what you can do about it now.
Not it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
Next order is announcements, if there are any. To you.
All right. I've had some experience with meetings, just never this one. So for those who I haven't had a chance to meet yet, just recently joined the city manager's office as assistant city manager. Prior was the director of health and community development. So happy to join this fine group. So let's look agenda item four, review of water service denial for Pima County parcel 224-91. -0858, a parcel located in
unincorporated
County.
Sure, go ahead. The actual parcel number is 224-19-0858. There was an error that we had caught just prior to this meeting, so that is the actual parcel number that we'll be discussing this morning. My name is Michael Morreale. I'm the engineering manager of Marion Development of Sun Water, and I administer all of the water availability requests for Tucson Water. I've done somewhere between 1,400 and 1,500 requests in my career so far, and so we're going to talk about this case. So service area policy was established in August 4th of 2010. The map that you see up before you is only good on the day that it was printed, because the service area is constantly changing and shifting as people combine parcels, split parcels, as people acquire meters or remove their meters, then that the peripherals mostly will change. Majority of our service area inside the city limits will automatically get a will serve as part of our service area, with the exception of those service providers that are not in our service area, like Metro Water. You know, University of Arizona has their own service, but pretty much anybody within the Tucson city limits. When we're dealing with unincorporated Pima County parcels, those are color-coded as the yellow on this map. And we have two different types of items that we're tracking that's in our service area. It's the dark blue and the light blue. The dark blue is existing customers. They have a meter, they're getting billed. The light blue is in our service area, but not quite yet an existing customer. So the requests for new services beyond the existing water service area must be denied if the parcel contains 20 acres or more of developable land, or if the parcel is abutted to fewer than three sides of the existing Tucson Water customers. So you might have a side that's light blue, but you need to have three light blues on the perimeter of your parcel in order to be in our service area when we're dealing with the unincorporated Pima County areas. Go ahead to the next slide, please. So this is the parcel in question. As you can see, it only has two sides, the side to the north and the side to the east. The side to the south is not a customer yet, so that does not grant them a side to meet the service area policy. It's a one-acre parcel. The parcel lies within a non-expansion area as defined by the water service area. and the parcel is not surrounded on three sides by parcels currently receiving service from Tucson Water. Is there another slide after this, sir? Okay. So this is the letter that was sent to the customer indicating that they do not meet the requirements of the water service area policy. They have the option to contact the Arizona Corporation Commission to see if they're in another provider's service area or if there's another service provider in the vicinity. The only option that they would have at this point in time is to drill their own well, and they can use this letter to ADWRs who require the permits to drill a personal well on their property if they so choose to. This denial letter was dated June 6, 2023. I think that's it, right?
So I will ask for the person, the individuals here, to discuss their appeal.
Okay, I'm Dennis Manley, my wife Shannon Giles. We bought this property in 2007. Tucson Water was available. At the time we purchased the lot, we would not have purchased the lot if Tucson Water was not available. We bought it in a time where the market was, before it went south, we paid $150,000 for it, and we overpaid for it. We currently owe $85,000 on it. The lot is in contract right now to sell for $85,000, and we can get out of the debt that we're currently in. I just found out about this new policy, and I completely understand the policy. I'm not saying it's, you know, I do understand it, but the part that's frustrating for me is I didn't know I had to do something about it. You know, we've had this lot since 2007. I even had a permit. I even got a Pima County permit on it to build on it. That fell through. We paid like $10,000 in permit fees. We're trying to get out of debt. Our daughter is a senior, and going to college next year, and we're going to incur that debt. So that's pretty much all I've got to say about it. And I don't think the policy was meant to say you can't have water in this instance when all around all these lots have Tucson Water. My lot is basically now $0 up.
Thank you.
I would just like to add, The visual tells it all. It's to say it's an unsolvable problem because those two people couldn't afford to build a house, before 2010. So now the arbitrariness of it is it's there in the visual. So there's no other water available. The prospective builder got an estimate for that well at $50,000. Which would mean, and we actually paid $160,000 for it, which would mean would be, it's worthless. So the arbitrariness of this policy for as applied to that 1 acre lot is, it's the equivalent of taking the property.
It's worthless. I don't think that's what this policy is named for.
Thank you. We do have an opportunity for call to audience. I don't see anyone else here, so we'll go to deliberations. Chris, does that mean we ask the appellant to step out, or do they stay there?
It's all open meeting, so okay. We can just continue with everybody who's present.
Okay, so let's go into deliberations and ask for the board if there's any discussion.
Have there been any will serve letters or on this property since 2007? So
no.
They bought it, and so he made a request for you to purchase a meter.
This was actually the first request.
The first request.
I am curious around the other properties that are in blue or dark blue, meaning they are currently getting water service. If I can understand, the policy went into effect at some point after those. Most properties got service.
They acquired their meters prior to the implementation of the water service area policy. If the customer had acquired even just an empty meter box, I would have granted them an approval for that. But this parcel had no action on it since 2007. So,
are we allowed to talk?
Yeah.
So we would have done that if we knew this policy was happening. We would have done it.
And to be clear, the property to the south was to get water service that would enable that property to be eligible.
Yes.
But at this point, they would be denied, or would they not?
The parcel to the south would be granted water because they're in our service area, like, because they have three sides of existing customers.
And would not have enabled this property to be eligible.
Right. The other,
did that property itself get serviced both properties? Basically, would be eligible.
If the parcel to the west also combined with the current parcel, it would then give it three sites as well.
So you mean if I got Mark Canova, if we jointly did a request, we can get?
No, you have to combine. You have to have it actually combined into one parcel first before you. So if you make an agreement with your neighbor to combine the two parcels into one, then I can review the parcel, because I have to review it on a case-by-case basis as it stands in that period of time. I can't review it as I'm planning on doing this. It has to be, you know, it has to be real property, and it has to be recorded, not just, you know, with the county, but also with on our GIS, because it's the county and the city share our GIS maps. And the only way that we can confirm that it was truly combined together, you'd have to wait for that to record on the mapping system as well.
And then we would uncombine it. It just seems like a lot of work and money,
thousands of dollars
to go through something that can be done easily with the.
I'm curious if you were granted the ability to connect to Tucson Water, would that change? I'm just curious, what does that do?
They'll buy the lot, and they're building on it.
They will build a house.
Yeah. It's under contract right now.
So is that a contract you disclosed that there's no water service?
They found it out. They applied originally on 1-1. That's when I started getting a lot of Mike and Chris. It's like, what is this? First I ever heard about it.
Yeah, they. So I'll just throw it out there. Again, my goal is to adhere to our policy. So I have no desire to say that the policy isn't good. I think the policy is exactly right. But I do think it should make sense, in the sense of you're looking at a whole area that there's only two lots. One is eligible, one isn't. I believe this is what the appeal process is for, right? To be able to look at these things a little bit more.
So if you decide that Tucson want to follow the policy, but you think that there are other considerations, you have the ability to make a recommendation to the mayor.
Okay.
So you basically have three decisions that you can make. You decide that Tucson want to correctly follow the policy, and that you don't want to make a recommendation to the mayor council. You can decide that Tucson Water didn't follow the policy correctly and award service under the policy, or you have the right to say there are some extenuating circumstances here and we'd like to make the recommendation. Those are the three options.
Thank you. That's
maybe historically we have followed the policy related to what's really how it was drafted, so I think our role and responsibility is really limited, and those are the three options, and really just to continue consistent in terms of how the policy has been applied. I think there's obviously not direct ways of really addressing that, but the direct ways of how we can look at, so there's options that the owner in that they're correct is really going through a lot of process and maybe a little additional expenses that can really be provided and still follow the intent of the policy itself, because even with the essentially an approval or a recommendation for approval, still would have to be ratified and has to be really appealed to the council. that point in time, we have the ability to be approved or not approved. One of the things that I've heard over the years is really council not really interested in the bulking up of really deviating from the policy. And so I don't think that's what we look at very favorable potential kind of approval. And I'm just, again, I'm just throwing it out as something to consider. Obviously, not making a policy, not making decisions, but really just historically, how it's been delivered and how it's been resolved. And really, the ones we've seen is really going back and really sticking to essentially the policy, coming up with different alternatives in terms of how that can be met. In this case, really, the joining of the parcels. And I know it's going to be a lot of work, but they still sticking to the policy. And yes, I concur. It's a lot of times it doesn't really make sense in terms of how the policy looks like. If you have a green light in front of you, and yet you really can't connect. Well, that's really more of a technical operational issue. And it's the policy is really up to the policy in terms of really how the intent of the policy is really to minimize the amount of sprawl and operator and really overcommitting the Tucson Water utility to provide services where it does not meet the overall policy. And yes, we have heard a lot of concerns in terms of really owners not being notified in terms of really the policy change. But again, those we go back a few years back and say, you know, how was it publicly noticed? How was it notified? Yes, and that hasn't. But on the other hand, is with property changes, yeah, you may or may not be aware of those in those days. And we've seen those that he was not disclosed, he was not really provided. And so some owners have an area of pretty much a property that does not meet the policy.
Well, this property did meet the policy. There was no policy to purchase it, and water was available to purchase. So I know a lot of people are buying property after that date of when this was in place, and that's a shame on them for not doing our diligence. We did our diligence when we purchased the property.
Are you aware who the owner is to the north?
To the north?
I'm sorry, to the south.
Yes. I actually have a request in. I talked to Sal. It's in with Michael right now. But apparently, you know, because Mark, who is beside me, we're willing to split the cost of the meter to put it in that property. We'll put a landscape meter in there for whatever they are, is $25 or $3,000. But talking to Sal, apparently it's a lot more money for that. And I'm waiting for the response on it. And I don't know why that would be more money to get a meter.
I'll answer that question. You need a main extension to the parcel to the south. So you have to pay for it. They would have to pay for the main extension through your property in an easement in order to have the parcel front a main. So right now it doesn't front a main, so we either have to have a lot configuration where the property fronts the main a minimum of 15 feet frontage, or you bring the main to the property. And so it costs more than just a meter, because we do not allow remote meters, meaning the private plumbing clock crosses private property. That's not your own private property. So in order for the property to the south, there has to be a main extension, a minimum of 4-inch main through that. Yeah.
So let's say I didn't do that application, and you guys, apparently per the rules, you're obligated to give that property water. How would you give him water?
He would have to pay for a main extension to bring the main to his property in order for him to get
and
it.
And where would that extension come from?
Wherever he can get an easement from somebody, he'd have to contact he'd either get it through Lambert and do a main extension all the way across in the right of way, or if he can get a easement through private property and to the north, he can do it that way. Those are the two options for him.
Again, those are just so much more expenses.
So I just wanna make mention that this is not a unique case. I've reviewed hundreds just like this, where they had purchased the property prior to the service area policy they didn't take action prior to the policy, and now their property no longer meets the requirements. I've also done cases where they used to be part of the policy, but the conditions around their parcels had changed to the point where they no longer had to. So I actually had developers had to unplat their project to bring it back to its original state so they can get the, you know, meet the requirements of the water service area policy, and then they had to replat it again back to where it was because they took no action within the two-year window that these will serve letters are, is that they expire within 2 years. So if there's no action taken within either prior to the implementation of the policy or within the 2 years of which the letter is good for, then they may end up getting a denial later on in the future.
I guess I have one question about what you said, which is that you got building permits.
Pima County permit.
I'm assuming that this was when you first bought the property.
Yes.
But you didn't, at that same time, you didn't. Was there a requirement that you get a water meter at the time? Did you get to the point where you got the permit?
Yeah.
That you had made
we were almost there, and we turned. We said we just can't do this right now.
Okay. Understood. I'll point out, I think, that there are two viable, I'm not saying cost-free, but they're viable options for you to obtain the water service here. You're not out on the island with no chance of rescue. One is for the property owner to the south to get water service, either through an easement that either you or your neighbor grant, or along what looks to me like the Lambert easement. I don't know if Lambert's a road.
I think it's a right of way.
At least it looks like the right of way.
Yeah.
So that's option number one. Option number two would be for you and your neighbor to the west to combine your parcels into one. So that's a kind of joint venture agreement. I think Bonnie can give you advice for that. Apply for water service and then just split it again. So there are pathways. They're not like, you know.
It's like a loophole, and once guys get it, it's like you guys are making this stuff from loopholes. At the end of the day, we're going to get there.
For thousands of dollars.
That is understood.
The
water service policy is an attempt to balance the consideration that the mayor and council had of not wanting to have loopholes the other way, which don't necessarily apply to you, right? So one of the concerns that we heard staff from the mayor and council in formulating the water service policy was they did not want to see methods by which landowners could sort of leapfrog and ladder.
I get why it's there.
You know, so there's no such thing as a perfect water service policy.
If you
create a water service policy that works for you, you end up with a policy that allows laddering extensions far outside the current boundary of the water supply. So that's the mixture. And I can't, you know, the mayor and council need to make their policy decisions. But you do have two options here that, again, at the end of the when those options are complete, the value of these parcels will far exceed the cost of those options in obtaining water service.
We paid $160 for a lot. We are so upside down.
Yeah, I understand. But the cost of the options that are in front of you result in more value to the property than doing nothing. So
what happened to approving to the council, and don't we get an option that will also appeal to them as well?
In order to appeal to the mayor and council, the water service policy board has to make a recommendation.
Okay.
If you want to take something from the mayor and council, you can do that, but that's an impossible process that you can come.
So for the, any other discussion on this? I think we're ready to our vote. Do I assume we do a motion on this?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
That's right.
I move the upcountry denial issued by Tucson Water on June 16th.
I second that.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Hopefully you know what next steps that we want to take. Now that we've made our recommendation, is there anything else we can share with this party on the new board? As far as the appeal, the one thing about the mayor council, because this goes to mayor council, or this is a done deal, right? Our decision.
Your decision, as per your recommendation, that will be official. Move from you to the mayor council.
So you've basically taken that option away from us to go ahead.
And you could decide that you want to file an appeal, but the board itself is not going to make the recommendation for an appeal.
And Chris, would you be able to send in the contact information and how that starts?
I can send contact for each of the ward offices, and generally in order to get an item onto the council agenda, you'd have to have the support of a council member in order to place that on the agenda. But I can send contacts for the ward offices.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. So there's item 5 is call to audience.
Yeah. Look forward to the return.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Sorry for my not too clear.
That's fine.
I should have called you yesterday.
It's all good.
No, it all went well.
I think by far the cheapest option is to